Thank you for joining us on EZ's Community Focus, taking a look at the issues that matter in South Florida and the people and organizations that are making a difference. I'm Ellen Jaffe. My guest today is the president and CEO of Women in Distress. They are the only nationally accredited, state-certified, full-service domestic violence center serving Broward County. And under her stewardship, Women in Distress has been able to expand services and safety opportunities for victims of domestic violence. And that's not just women. It also includes children and men. Please welcome Mary Riedel. Mary, you've been with Women in Distress for years and years and years. What is it that you're so passionate about in working with the group?
Well, thank you, Ellen, and it's great to be with you again. I was involved as a volunteer leader for a number of years, a member of Women in Distress's board, and always been a supporter. But it's really been my privilege to be in this role, leading our staff and working with our board for the last 8 years. And it's an issue that affects families and children. And it really, domestic violence is an issue that affects the entire community. And right. I think that's what has drawn me to be involved for nearly two decades.
And, you know, the organization started in 1974 and has certainly been through changes, and the whole issue of domestic violence has evolved in 40 years. Can you tell us about that evolution and how Women in Distress has modified what they do to stay with what's happening in our society?
Yes, the domestic violence as an issue has definitely evolved. I mean, for many decades, people thought of it as a private, behind-closed-door issue. And I think we've seen, particularly in the last decade, where it is really has many legs. It's not just we think of the physical violence, but it's emotional, sexual, financial, verbal abuse, all very damaging. And as we see it played out in the schools, we do a lot of work in the schools, but bullying and cyberbullying and stalking and dating violence. And I think even at earlier ages, young people are exposed to this. So it's one of those. But yes, Women in Distress was one of the oldest and now among the largest. There are 42 domestic violence centers here in the state of Florida, as you may know, each are in their home communities. But Women in Distress is among the oldest and the largest. So we have now, fortunately, 132 emergency shelter beds. So that has been doubled over the last 5 years when we did a major expansion and moved to the new Jim and Jan Moran Family Center campus in Deerfield Beach just about 5 years ago, this time of the year. We also have outreach locations at various places around Broward County, and we do a lot of work in the schools.
Right.
So it is an issue that has moved, I think, greater community consciousness, if you will, or it's more on the radar screen. Certainly some of the attention when the NFL got involved in it as an issue certainly isn't confined just to professional sports or to football, but they have a great ability to affect social change. I think from a public policy standpoint, we're seeing it talked about a lot more. So our programs, you know, have evolved over the years, but unfortunately the needs have continued to grow.
Yeah, that when you say 132 beds in a community this size, it's like you're so at the tip of an iceberg and there's so much more going on. And obviously, you know, you can't house everyone, but you offer a tremendous number of services that lead up to housing that don't necessarily, I'm sure there are people who don't require that step.
Yes, and that's a very important point, Ellen. You know, we look at it as a continuum. Our crisis line, our 24-hour hotline, which we'll talk about that number, and it's really good for people to kind of embed that in their minds if they or someone they know needs help. Also, our website at www.womenindistress.org, O-R-G, has all of our information and resources there. But so we get something like 2,000 calls a month to our crisis line. And that's a 24/7 operation. A trained advocate answers that call. We get the highest number of calls to our hotline from among all the centers in Florida. So we're the highest. We get calls equal to the number that the statewide hotline gets. So South Florida, you know, we have a very diverse and burgeoning population. There are people from all over, not only the United States, but the world. So the dynamics are such that it is a big issue in our community. So the crisis line is one very important point of entry. Our outreach services, and all of our services are free and confidential, and as you point out, open to both men and women. More than half of all the people we will see at Women in Distress, and last year that was about 3,300 individuals, half of those will be children. And as we sit today, our shelter beds are full. There will be 60 of those beds occupied by children, anywhere from infants to toddlers to grade school or even up to high school age. So the children's services is such an important part. But the therapy and counseling for adults, either in group settings or individuals, because you're right, sometimes people need that for themselves and for their children mm-hmm. for a period of time. So fortunately, because of the community support, we're able to be there. So the hotline, the therapy, counseling, emergency shelter for those who need it, and mm-hmm. which is very important. And then sort of at the other end of the continuum is this education and prevention program. We have a team of three people that do extensive work in the schools, with professional groups, with businesses, doing training and awareness, because it really starts there.
Yeah.
If we have hopes of attacking this issue as a community, it takes that community response. So I'm proud to say, you know, we have great support from law enforcement. Folks from Broward Sheriff's Office sit on our board. We deal with law enforcement from many of the cities. The courts, very important. There will be a new courthouse, you know, in the coming months, but there's been an important step forward. Howard Foreman, who's the clerk of courts here in Broward, has opened now a satellite location so that people can get restraining orders. It used to be someone seeking an order of protection had to go to the main courthouse in downtown Fort Lauderdale. That could be a very daunting process for many people, and they didn't have transportation or they didn't have someone to care for their children. So now those injunctions are available at the main courthouse, but also in the north courthouse, which is in Plantation. It is our hope that in the coming months, that service will be extended to the two other courthouse locations in Broward, in Hollywood and in Deerfield Beach. Sunrise Mayor Mike Ryan has been a real leader in helping look at this whole injunction process, along with the Clerk of Courts and the Police Chiefs Association has been very instrumental in, you know, really delving in, drilling down on this issue and how could we better protect. So that's just one example, I think, of the changes. The Florida laws in recent years, you know, have been strengthened. I think we're holding the perpetrator accountable. You know, all too often, and even some of the national stories, we see, why didn't she leave? She must have done something. You know, this victim blaming.
Right.
And we don't even really use the term victim. It's really survivor. Yeah. It's someone who's surviving from that. So I think it's all, it's the words we use, but that whole community approach. So, you know, fortunately at Women in Distress, we have great community support, great community partnerships, and we work with a number of other social service, nonprofit, law enforcement, the courts, the school system. So it is very much a community issue. And so we want to be sort of the center of that nexus,
right,
but be really tapping into those other, you know, healthcare. I just this week met with a group of healthcare executives. I mean, it's a health issue for children as well as adults. So more and more, that is interestingly, in the last year, we were able to, with a grant from a private foundation, the Sala Foundation, start a program to hire an early childhood therapist and build a more robust and more full-range children's program. And that program is really aimed at serving children, infants, you know, 0 to 4. And now there's so much research about how, you know, witnessing violence or being exposed to that affects children. It affects their brain development, affects them in lifelong ways. And it used to be people thought, well, the baby's in the crib, they're in the other room, they're in the playpen, they're not really understanding or being affected by the violence that's happening in the home. And more, the research shows that they're affected in lifelong ways. So that's another way that we're hoping to intervene and to change, you know, to break this cycle.
Yeah, it's a tremendous amount of work. And you have outreach in a lot of different places. I want to give that crisis hotline before we go any further.
Yeah, it's very important. That number there, 24/7, is 954-761-1133. Again, 954-761-1133. There are also statewide and national hotline numbers that say maybe somebody from out of the area may be listening or has a friend or family member in another place. They can call those numbers and it'll be, you know, directed and channeled.
Okay,
to us
and I want to
well.
Make it clear, anyone can call that number because you talk about all of the different kinds of abuse, that it's not just women, it's men, it's children, there's emotional abuse, there's financial abuse. So it takes on a lot of different forms. And in addition to someone calling on their own behalf, can someone use that line to call on someone else's behalf?
Well, really the survivor, the person affected, I think, you know, our role as community people and friends and family members is to be there for that individual and to be there in a non-judgmental way. Certainly give them the number and encourage them. But, you know, we can't force it. Someone has to be ready. Okay. You know, to make that call. Often the calls to the crisis line, yes, someone may be in immediate danger and we will act immediately. Sometimes callers just need to understand the options and what services are available. And a lot of the work is around safety planning. If you have to leave, what do you need to do? What documents do you need? Where are your children going to be? You know, just some very practical things. Is there someone that you can trust? So I think that Crisis Line is available to anyone, but certainly someone who finds himself in that situation, you know, to make that call again, it's confidential. There is no pressure to do anything. Our whole philosophy, as it is with domestic violence centers around the state, is one of empowerment. It's not a clinical approach. It's an empowerment. What do you need? What do you want to do? What are the needs of you and your children? And I think that's been an important shift as we think about the domestic violence and how it has evolved. So it equips someone to take that step and then begin that journey. And that's what we're there to do, is to really guide and assist and protect people and keep them safe.
I know that each person's case is going to be very specific to them as individuals, but are there certain key moments where someone says, this is the time, I can't fool myself anymore, I must get out of this situation, I'm going to call that hotline number?
Yes, and often, you know, it's a pattern. Obviously, you know, as people say, if you're on your first date or first encounter with a partner, if they hit you, that would probably be, you wouldn't be going back. So domestic violence is about power and control, and people can control others in a variety of ways. They can control them financially, their movements, isolate them from family or friends or education or job opportunities. And sometimes it can be very, you know, over a period of time, but often it can escalate to what seems to be a, you know, I care about you situation, to a very controlling and potentially violent situation. So it does escalate. In our experience, I think our program, our counselors and advocates and therapists would say that when that escalation, when that escalates and people really fear for their own safety or the safety of their children or those around them, we've seen a continuing number of children not only exposed to violence but victimized as well. And I think often when it begins to affect their child or children or those around them, the person, the survivor, will say, now is the time. It's interesting, you know, when there are these violent reports and horrific cases in the news or something will happen in the community, we will see a spike in the calls to our crisis line.
It's almost like it emboldens people.
And maybe there is that epiphany of saying, I don't want to be that statistic, you know, and unfortunately, it seems like a daily, you know, occurrence, and certainly weekly, that it tops the news here in South Florida. And many times, really violent crimes are often have domestic violence as a root.
We hear about things like that where someone tries to leave a violent situation. They may get a restraining order or ask for help, but they can't get help until the situation has escalated so much that sometimes it's too late. Sometimes legally the police can't do anything yet. And unfortunately, it will turn into a situation where someone is murdered. And I know you said the police are working on that to make restraining orders easier to get. Now, how do they work with situations where nothing has happened legally that they can do anything about?
Well, I think our law enforcement and this goes for all the jurisdictions that we deal with here in South Florida. I mean, the officers are informed and enlightened. And, you know, interestingly, the city of Hollywood, their police department, their chief is an officer by the name of Chief Sanchez, but he has appointed Sergeant Rhett Cady to really form a unit. And they're one of, I think, the only jurisdiction here in the state of Florida to really embark on an offender program. And basically, it's a database. So they really track someone has a domestic violence incident, it's second, third, goes up to repeat and violent offenders, as they call it, the A-listers. But they have adopted a whole program by which they identify and confront and notify these individuals that if they continue and do repeat offenses, there will be consequences. And, you know, from a law enforcement side, they want to save lives. They want to prevent having to go to that same house 12 different times. Right. And at the far end of the scale, the law enforcement people understand that the very violent, they're going to commit a murder. They're going to commit, they're likely involved in other serious crimes. So this is an interesting program. It's one that's modeled after a program that was developed in High Point, North Carolina. And some law enforcement jurisdictions around the country have explored and adopted that. But Hollywood, they're about 10 or 11 months ago, really adopted this program and devoted resources to it. And it really brings the issue into focus. But I've also heard from law enforcement, you know, just going out on domestic calls are some of the most dangerous situations that their officers can be confronted. So, you know, it's an issue on both sides. Right. And
I guess that's where the education plays such a key role and where you can really make a difference in educating people before they become survivors, before they're in a situation that becomes violent, and taking the children who have been in those situations and working with them so they don't continue that cycle.
Yes, and that's, you know, so important. But I think it's the community response, too, that, you know, it's like if you see something, say something, and this is no longer a private issue. People hear or see or witness this or know that their neighbor or their coworker or their relative, they can call the hotline, they can call it anonymously, they can call the abuse hotline. I think this is where the social change, you know, really comes about. We've been fortunate over the last several years to have advocates located with, say, the child protective investigating teams. We also have a program with a detective at BSO to identify those cases that are at highest risk. So, you know, there have been some good innovative programs, but it really does, Ellen, it starts with each of us being aware of what are those signs and what do we do, if we see something.
On your website at womenindistress.org, you have a tremendous amount of information, including signs to look for, steps to take if you're in that situation. What are some key things that you would recommend to someone who suspects that a neighbor or a loved one may be in a violent situation, in an abusive situation?
Well, and again, not to put yourself at risk, but to, again, reach out to that individual in a non-judgmental way and explain they don't have to live this way. There is help available. It's free. It's confidential. It's safe. You may want to call this number. Officers going out on calls have our little palm cards. Hospital emergency rooms do. Physician offices, school resources. So I think it is keeping yourself safe, but also reaching out to that person. And may not be the first time, but, you know, you might, they plant that seed. But I think more and more we realize how it does affect, you know, the whole community. It
right.
certainly affects the workplace. We know how it affects children and, you know, the potential for people not to be able to live their life and realize their full potential. So, you know, we look at the hopeful side of it. Every
right.
day I see, you know, women and men and families and children who have made, with a little bit of help, have made significant progress.
Yeah, you have success stories on the website, right?
And that's the real, that's the reward.
Yeah.
Because so it's, again, it starts with really seeing that, and it can be, it can take many forms, and people may not even fully realize what's happening to them until they're out of that controlling situation.
Yeah, yeah, and then so, you can get some perspective. The crisis line again is 954-761-1133. We're speaking with Mary Riedel, the president and CEO of Women in Distress. You've mentioned that you have 132 beds available for extreme situations where people need to get out for their safety. What's the process that someone would go through once they are able to take it upon themselves to leave and they come to Women in Distress? What kind of steps do you take them through?
Yes. Well, each individual, you know, if they come to one of the satellite locations or call our crisis line or come to our Moran Family Center, they're connected with an advocate, a trained, you know, professional that has social work, mental health, counseling, therapy backgrounds. And each individual case, as you point out, is different. So it's an exploration of what does that individual need and what do they want to do, and to try to connect them with resources that may be available to them in the community. Sometimes it's not safe for someone to stay here in the area. They may have to be relocated, but often it is safe. They may need shelter just for a time, and then they can get housing and job and childcare. So it's working with all of those community resources, but it's really the survivor that's in charge of that process.
Okay.
So I view it as our job is to be really knowledgeable about community resources and make those connections and help.
So you don't mandate that once you step in the doors, you must do this, 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 and this, and now you're under our wing.
No, and that's an important distinction. You know, I think many decades ago, it was a much more prescriptive model, I think, of, well, you, and there's no, you do these 10 things, and
yeah,
because
that's
got to
be just as scary for someone who has been controlled to think, well, I'm just going to be controlled by someone else.
Yes, that's a very good point. And, you know, and often they're, they don't want to exchange that. So it isn't by any means, we don't have curfews, we don't mandate, but we explore what the options are and help that survivor come to the place that's going to help them and their family. But usually there's such a sense of relief and
yeah.
safety that they come to realize that's, but you know what, people, it's like a lot of things, they can't do it without
that help.
Some
yeah.
help.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really proud of our agency. I think we're very diverse in our staff and the way and culturally how we deliver services. Most of our direct service staff are bilingual, and we provide English, Spanish, Creole, and we just added our third Portuguese-speaking
wow.
advocate. And we've had people from, you know, many different cultures and many different countries. So I think that's, too, you've got to meet people. You've got to, you know, deal with them in a way that fits with
right, that they,
their background
their
and
cultural
their beliefs.
Views. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And again, everything you do is free. So obviously there's funding that's required. There are volunteers that are required, donations that are required to make this happen. One of the events that's not only a major fundraiser, but also a real opportunity to see the success stories, the survivor stories, is your Starfish Luncheon on May 18th.
Yes, and this is the 10th anniversary of the Starfish Luncheon. So marking that milestone, we decided to honor 10 survivors of domestic violence, sort of emblematic of the tens of thousands of
yeah.
women and men and children who have been helped over the years. So the event is this year, May 18th. We have wonderful support. Our presenting sponsors are JM Family Enterprises and Toyota, Southeast Toyota Distributors, along with ADT. Signature Grand is the site, also one of our major sponsors, and really a host of organizations and individuals that have come together to sponsor. We'll have over 500 people in attendance. It is a major fundraiser, but it is a chance to put a face on the issue and to hear the success stories. And all of the money that we raise, and we hope this year that we can raise, our goal is to raise $250,000 at this event, so it is important. But that translates into 2,500 or 2,500 nights of safe shelter. Mm. So if you think about it, you know, in personal terms, so it is both a way to tell that story and to showcase what we're doing, but it also to talk about the children's therapy programs and some of the things and the partners,
right,
you know, that we work with. So it's May 18th. Signature Grand, we have a fabulous silent auction that kicks it off at 11, and then it's followed by luncheon and program at noon to 1:30. So we like to think we can get people in and out, both inspire and really share some of that message with them.
And I'm glad that you do it at things at other times of the year than just during October, which is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, because the awareness, you know, it's not like domestic violence stops in November and doesn't start up again until September 30th. It's all the time. So it's good that people can get involved with you throughout the year.
Well, and there's many ways to get involved. You know, we have a couple signature events a year, the Starfish being one, but we did a safe walk run in February. Many groups will do events for us in the course of the year that raise money and awareness, and that's very important. We also have a thrift store operation that people can donate their goods to and visit. That's located in Margate at 1372 North State Road 7. It's open Tuesday through Saturday. It's a great place, you know. Thrift stores and everything have become very popular and very trendy. But it is another way for the community to support our work. Participants can get furniture and household items and clothing. Many times they leave with literally the clothes on their back, so they need clothes. So the thrift store is an important piece. But I think these awareness events, we're doing a special Mother's Day appeal.
I saw that on the website, that people can honor their moms as a reminder that mothers are very often the people who have to make the decision to leave and take their children with them to protect them.
Yes, and, you know, it's honoring a special person in that individual's life. So they can go on again to our website at womenindistress.org. We also are on Facebook and Twitter, and all those social media sites are, you know, a really fantastic way to share the message. But it's, people can really offer those words of encouragement, honor someone who's special in their life. I mean, and that's just one example. In the summer, we'll do a big back-to-school drive. There's need for kids to have uniforms and shoes and school supplies. And that's something, too, that I think resonates with people. So that, and as you mentioned, in the fall is Domestic Violence Awareness, but February, you know, Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. So really there's something going on
all year round,
each month, each week. And I think that's important to keep it in front of the community, but in a very positive way. I think people want to feel there's something they can do.
Yeah, and that there's hope.
And that there's hope. And so that's really the approach that we try to take in our community messaging. But social media has become a huge engine and a really effective way to share that message.
All right, well, take a look at all of it at the website womenindistress.org. There are very complete lists of things that you can do specifically to support women in distress, to support someone who you believe may be in danger. For someone who feels endangered, there are complete lists of things you can do to stay safe, what items you might need to have ready to go if you decide this is the time I have to go, how to stay safe while you are still living with someone who is abusive. and how to take that step and make the phone call to the crisis hotline at 954-764-1133 and make sure that you and your family are safe. Mary Riedel, I can't thank you enough. We could talk for another hour easily about all of this, but I'm looking forward to seeing it firsthand at the Starfish Luncheon, and I encourage our listeners to participate as well by going to womenindistress.org. You've been listening to Easy's Community Focus. I'm Ellen Jaffe. If you have comments or would like to suggest a topic, you can email me at easy93.com.